Since 1937, the Lights of Spiritual Guidance has been sharing the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm delighted you chose to join us today, and I pray that this program will truly be a blessing to you as you listen to this edition of the Lights of Spiritual Guidance. Good morning. That's a great medley of songs by Greater Vision. Old camp meeting songs, as I recall, going to camp meetings with my mother and my father as a child and as a teenager. We would sing out of that softback hymnal, and what a joy to recount all those times that I was at camp meeting with my parents. And this weekend, I'm finishing up my very first camp meeting of the summer months. That's June 20th. And 21 at Beulah Camp and finish there. And then I'm going to visit family the next weekend and then sing at Flintwood Wesleyan Church on the 28th of June and then take the 4th of July week off and travel then to Frankfort Camp in Frankfort, Indiana. That's July 12 to 19. And then from there on to Waynesboro, Mississippi to the Frostbridge Holiness Camp meeting, July 20 to 26. So I do covet your prayers during these days of preaching at camp meetings and enjoying the fellowship of other evangelists and singers and folks who attend a camp meeting. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to be able to share the lights of spiritual guidance with our listening audience. And I pray as we finish the message titled, Put Away Your Sword, that it would speak to us as we endeavor to know what the face of holiness is, how to live out our relationship with Christ in a broken world. I pray that you'd be with those who are sick and shut in. I pray that you would bless those who minister in camp meetings, fellow evangelists and educators. And I pray that you'd be with pastors as they minister to their congregations this weekend. I pray, Father, that you would continue to meet the needs of this ministry. And we want to give you thanks, Father, for those who do share in the burden of responsibility for paying for airtime. And I thank you for the radio stations who are willing to air the lights of spiritual guidance. I pray all of this in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Don't forget to write to me. I say it every week. We do need your help. We are listener-supported, faith-based radio ministry, and we've been that almost 90 years. We're celebrating 89 years in 2026. So would you write to us? The Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. And you can always go to our website, lomanministries.org. Listen to the program there. And you can give in support of the program through Venmo or PayPal. Thanks so much for considering that. Through so many dangers and toils of this life, I have already come. But he keeps on giving the grace and the strength to just keep pressing on. He's given a promise, and I'm gonna stand on every truth his word has said. And holding his hand, I'll never fear whatever lies ahead. Already said that I could. I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in view. Oh, I'm gonna make it through. In spite of the good intentions I've had, sometimes my strength can fail. And though I have tried the very best that I could, my weaknesses prevail. But then I remember the promise he made, that in my weakness he is made strong. And that's when I know whatever may come, his steady hand will lead me on. And he's already said that I could. I'll keep on trusting that he's working everything
for my good. He walks beside me, and heaven is in view. Oh, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna make it through. He walks beside me. Heaven is in view. I'm gonna make it through.
Number two, it's far more important to be kind than it is to be right. My wife and I have this beautiful little cottage in Columbus, Indiana, where we live. And between our little cottage and the house to our south runs a public alleyway. It's paved. It connects Cottage Avenue with Central Avenue. And at the other end, where Central Avenue is connected to that alleyway, there are apartments. And then there's a big house that's been divided into apartments. And from time to time, we have people that will come down that alleyway just to cut through to get to Central or to get to those apartments. Gretchen and I, during the warm months of the year, we like to sit out on our back patio. And one day, we were sitting out there, and down that alleyway came a car faster than it should have come. Whew. And I'd put up signs, please slow down. Because if we're backing out and they're coming the other way, they could hit us when we back out of our garage onto that alleyway. And that car went, whew. And I thought, well, I'll deal with this. And I got up out of my chair, and I walked down that alleyway. That car had parked in the alley, and there is a sign down at the end of that alley that says no parking. He can't read. It says no parking. He's parked there. Nobody was in the car. And I walked down there. And about the time I got to the back of his car, he came out of that apartment complex. I said, sir, I'd really appreciate it if you wouldn't go so fast down this alleyway. I didn't say it with love written on my face. Well, I wasn't going that fast. I said, yes, you were. I'd appreciate it if you'd slow down next time. I turned around and I walked back up to my house. Over the next couple of days, I replayed that event in my mind. And the Holy Spirit began to convict me. Lane, you didn't show anything about Jesus in talking to him. So I'm sitting there on the patio a day or so later. That same guy, his name was Jerome. And here comes Jerome, pew, right down that alleyway, parked right in the alley, still hadn't learned to read. And I walked down there, and by the time I got to the back of his car, he was coming out of the apartment complex. And he saw me and went, I said, sir, what's your name? He said, Jerome. I said, Jerome, the other day, I talked to you in a way that was not quite nice. And I said, I want to apologize to you. He said, you don't owe me an apology. I said, yes, I do. Because the way I spoke to you was not right. It was not kind. And I want you to accept my apology for that. And he said, okay. I walked back up to the house. Day or so later, Jerome turns down the alley again. It's far more important to be kind than it is to be right. Number three, Jesus is our shibboleth. He is our provocative rule of measurement. He's the standard by which we live our lives. I'll take you to John, the Gospel of John, very quickly. John chapter 18. I'm not going to read the whole passage, but you know the story. You know that Jesus has just finished a night of prayer, an entire night. His disciples have been asleep. And then he finishes his prayer, awakens his disciples, goes down into the Kidron Valley, into the garden. And then the crowd, the mob led by Judas, comes out. And the question is asked, who is it you want? And he said, Jesus. They say, Jesus of Nazareth. And Jesus says, I am he. Take me, let these men go, he says. And then Peter, who had a sword, the Bible says. Why did he have a sword? Of all people, why did Peter have a sword? I wondered that. Then I went back and I looked. And I found out why he had a sword. Because Jesus had told them to get a sword. Jesus said, Luke chapter 22, if you have a purse, take it. Also a bag. If you don't have a sword, sell your cloak and buy one. In verse 38 of that chapter, it says, the disciples said, Lord, we have two swords. And Jesus said, that's enough. I don't think they were for protection. I think Jesus, I can't prove it, I think Jesus wanted to teach a lesson. Furthermore than that, Peter proved he wasn't a good swordsman. He whipped out that sword and took a swing at Malchus, a servant of the high priest, missed his head and got his ear. I used to think that the ear fell into the dirt and Jesus picked up the ear and put it back on the guy's head. But that's not what the Bible says. It says that Jesus reached up and touched Malchus and he recreated a body part. It's the only time in the ministry of Jesus that he ever did that. It's the last miracle he will perform before he goes to the cross. And then he turned to Peter and he said this. Put away your sword, Peter. That's not who we are. We're not about cutting people's ears off. We're not about reaction like that. You see it? He healed his perceived enemy and rebuked his disciple. Jesus is our shibboleth. I love to tell my dad stories. I want to share this one with you in closing. My dad started a radio program in 1937. Next year, we will have been on the radio 90 years. It's been my privilege to continue producing that program since Dad went home to be with the Lord in the year 2000. And because people all across the country who have heard my dad and who listen to the radio program, whether on my website or one of the radio stations we're on, they like to hear my dad preach. And so I feature one of my dad's sermons usually the last weekend of each month. It's a 30-minute program. And I edit it down so Dad's on the program. And this particular Sunday, or Saturday it was, I tuned in via the app of that particular station, the program. It came on at 8:30 on Saturday morning on WPET, Greensboro, North Carolina. So I was just listening to make sure they got the right program. Because sometimes they make a mistake and get the wrong dated program on the air. So I was listening to the program, and I was listening to my dad preach, and I'd heard the sermon many, many times. I'd even heard the story that Dad told at the end of the sermon. But then I listened that morning, and I heard a part of the story that I never remembered hearing before. This is the story. Dad came home one day from business downtown Greensboro. And when he walked in the house, my mother said, "Harold, there's a phone number by the phone. They want you to return the call." And my dad went over and dialed the number that was on the paper. He didn't recognize the number. There was no name associated with it. And a man answered the phone. And my dad said, "This is Harold Lohman you called." "Is Harold Lohman the preacher?" "Yes, it is." He said, "Well, I appreciate you calling me back. I didn't think you'd call me back if you knew who it was, so I didn't leave my name." "Well, sir, why didn't you leave your name?" He said, "Because I don't like you. I've never liked you. Always thought you preached against sin too hard." My dad was well known in the business community because he owned a funeral home and a flower shop and did evangelistic meetings during the war years. He was well known in Greensboro. He said, "The other day in downtown Greensboro, I was talking to two businessmen, and your name came up in conversation." He said, "I deliberately lied on you to try and hurt your character." And my dad said, "Well, sir, if you did that, I have no knowledge of it. What can I do for you?" And Dad said, the man's voice softened. "Brother Lohman, my daughter's at the point of death at West Long Hospital. She has a rare blood type. And because you give blood on a regular basis, they told me that you have my daughter's blood type. Could you come and give my daughter some of your blood?" My dad said, "I'll be there as soon as I can get there." He drove to West Long Hospital in Greensboro, North Carolina, walked in the emergency room, and there was a man. He assumed it to be the father, the man who had called him. He walked over to the nurse's station and said, "I'm Reverend Lohman." She said, "I know you, Reverend Lohman." He said, "Well, I've come to give blood for a young lady that's in critical condition." She said, "Well, let me check your record." And she came back and said to my dad, "Well, Brother Lohman, I can't take your blood. You gave blood just not too long ago. It would endanger your own health if I took your blood." He said, "Could I use your phone?" My dad knew he had a cousin that had that same rare blood type. So he dialed his cousin's phone number, and he got on the phone with his cousin and said, "Cleo, this is Harold. Could you come down to West Long Hospital and give some blood?" And his cousin said, "Sure." And he came to the hospital, and he walked in, and they put him on a gurney. They took that blood out of my dad's cousin's arm and put it into the body of that young lady. And Dad said, "I stood by that father of that young lady, and he wept like a baby." And he said, "Brother Lohman, why would you do this for me and my daughter?" And my dad said, I looked at him and said, "Sir, have you never heard of a man by the name of Jesus? He's why." I'd heard the story to that point. And then Dad finished the story. He said, about 3 weeks later, I was in a revival meeting in the Greensboro area. And just before the meeting started, in the door walked that father. And that night, that man walked the aisle during the invitation and gave his heart to Jesus. Jesus is our shibboleth, our provocative rule of measurement.
Thanks so much for listening to the Lights of Spiritual Guidance today. I pray that the program has truly been a blessing to you. If you're looking for a church home, I know you would be welcome in any of the following churches. In the state of Illinois, Faith Chapel in Carrier Mills. In the state of Ohio, Trinity United Brethren Church in Fostoria. In the state of Kentucky, the Churches of the Kentucky Mountain Holiness Association in Eastern Kentucky. In the state of North Carolina, Charity Baptist Church in High Point. Friendship Baptist Church in Willow Springs, Mount Gilead Methodist Church in Trinity, and in the state of Indiana, Bethel Wesleyan Church in Columbus, Columbus Free Methodist Church in Columbus, Indiana, the Church of the Nazarene in Orleans, Indiana, and Flintwood Wesleyan Church again in Columbus, Indiana. I hope you'll take just a few minutes to write us that letter of support. We do need to hear from you, or you can go to our website, lomanministries.org, and click on the Venmo or the PayPal tab there. Our mailing address is the Lights of Spiritual Guidance, 1915 Cottage Avenue, Columbus, Indiana, 47201. Until this same time next week, don't forget, my friend, I'm still praying for you.